Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
This is a great day for us to be together to worship, and we're blessed with a couple of guests who will be speaking to us in worship and in Bible class. We're thankful to have Jason Bybee with us this morning. Jason is the preaching minister for the Mayfair Church of Christ in Huntsville, and there are probably a lot of connections. I know there are several with this congregation, but many of us who know and love Chuck and Annette Wertman have that connection. That's where Chuck and Annette are worshiping and being with family and with sons and grandchildren and all of those good things. And so we're thankful for that connection. I'm thankful for getting to know Jason over the last several years in various ways. Jason grew up in Lebanon, Tennessee, and he and his family have been part of the Mayfair congregation since 2002. Jason and his wife, Sonny, have three children, Joshua, Abby, Kate, and Jackson. And what I greatly appreciate about Jason is the way in which he seeks to minister to others, has a heart for ministry, whether it's on a congregation level, whether it's some encouraging things that I've read and benefited from on his blog, just in any interaction seeking to bless and encourage others. Our family was able to worship with Mayfair a few years ago. We're blessed by that experience, and every time that I've gotten a chance to hear Jason speak, I've left challenged and uplifted. And so I'm thankful that he'll be with us this morning. As we focus on the God of all comfort, we'll ask Jason to come and speak to us.
Okay, good morning. Didn't want your first impression of me to be that I forgot to turn the microphone on. That would not be the way I want to start. Appreciate those kind words so much from Andrew, and appreciate the invitation to come and spend some time here with you all at Graymere this morning. I am so grateful. I've been thinking about and praying about this opportunity for several months now since Andrew reached out to me and invited me to come and be a part of today, one of these open door Sundays that you all are hosting here in this area. So I just, again, want to say thank you so much. If you're a guest here today, you have to forgive me because I wouldn't know the difference between a guest or a member. But if you happen to be a guest here today, I just want you to know how grateful all of us are that you're here. And it has already been said to you once, but if you are looking for a church home, I can tell you this is a good place. There are a lot of good people here. And if you're looking for a place where you can just share some prayer requests, if you're looking for somebody to be able to talk to about some of the situations you're facing in life, I would just encourage you to look around at some of these godly men and women who are around you. As Andrew said, I'm grateful for the connection that I have with the Graymere Church through Chuck and Annette Workman, just two of the finest people that I've ever had the chance to get to know and to meet. And I'm also really deeply grateful for Andrew and Catherine and for their family and for the work that they do here. If you're part of this church family, you know this already, but Andrew is a minister who has such a good reputation in our line of work, and he is well respected by his peers, and I know you all are blessed here in this place because of the work of so many, but I'm especially just acquainted with what Andrew is doing and what God does through him. Today we are reflecting on this passage of Scripture that we just read together, and the idea here this morning about our God being a God of all comfort. Just a few months ago at Mayfair, we went through a series and just we were reflecting on some places in the Scriptures where it speaks of God in these terms, that He is the God of all something. He is the God of all hope. You know, that He promises at the end of the Scriptures to make all things new. And as we read just a moment ago, He is the God of all comfort. When I was young, I went to one place when I needed comfort. And it's actually one person instead of a place, and that would be my mother. My mother was a woman of great compassion. The picture of us making cookies together in our kitchen, you can tell it's the 1970s by the decor. This other picture is our last family photo before my sister married. This is the church directory picture from 1986 at the College Street Church of Christ in Lebanon, where I grew up. My mother was a woman of great compassion. That compassion motivated her to spend her career as an educator. She spent almost her entire teaching career working with students, children in the most impoverished area in our hometown. For years after her passing, there was an award that was given out in her honor, the Myrna Bibee Compassion Award, that was given to a Wilson County teacher who demonstrated exemplary compassion toward his or her students. And so as her son, I would say I received the best of my mother's compassion. I probably need to tell you, because you likely never met her, you need to know my mother was also not a pushover. There were plenty of times where she had to use her teacher voice to correct me, to keep me, you know, in line when I was a child. Every summer, she would bring things home from her classroom. And one of the things that she always brought home with her from the summertime was her paddle. Back then, you know, teachers could paddle their students in the classroom. And she would bring the paddle home with her. And I would think, we don't really need that. That's not necessary to bring that home, you know, in the summer. So, but she would bring these things home. And I knew that she wouldn't hesitate to use that paddle on me if I stepped out of line. But whenever I was hurting, I could always turn to my mother for comfort and compassion. She was a fifth grade science teacher, so in addition to bringing the paddle home, there was always like science project paraphernalia that she'd bring home in the summertime. And I remember one summer in particular, she brought this huge magnet home. I mean, the thing probably weighed 10 pounds, and it felt like a bowling ball just lugging that thing around, but she brought it home. And so one summer afternoon, she gave me permission. I took the magnet outside, and my friends and I, we had a lot of fun playing with this magnet, figuring out what, you know, it could stick to or not. You know, so we're running around all afternoon with this gigantic, huge magnet. But somewhere along the way that afternoon, inevitably, like you knew this was probably going to happen, I dropped this magnet on my foot. And it lands right on my toenail, and I'll spare you all the gory details, but my toenail is all mangled up, and you know, there's blood, and I'm screaming and yelling, and I remember running into the house and just calling out my mom's name frantically. And I don't even honestly remember what happened from that point. I just knew that I was in pain, and if I went to my mom, she would be able to make it better. And that's what she did. That's what she always did. My mother was my comforter. You could also say it this way, that nurture was her nature. It was just kind of like a byproduct of who she was. It came so naturally to her. And she was the source of so much comfort in my life. Not just the physical comfort that I needed as a child when I was hurting, but even the emotional comfort that I sought. When I was 10 years old, my father passed away after a long illness. And so my mom was my comforter through that period of time as well. She brought more comfort into my life than anyone else. But you know, it wouldn't have been fair for me to expect her to be the source of all comfort in my life. That wouldn't be fair to her. It wouldn't be fair to myself. That's too much for one person to bear. My mom passed away when I was a teenager. She hadn't been feeling well for a while, and she put off going to the doctor. And by the time we got her in to see the right specialists, we heard the words you don't want to hear: cancer, malignancy, and lymph nodes. And 6 weeks after that appointment, we had her funeral. And when she passed away, I realized that I needed a deeper form of comfort than any earthly relationship could provide. Maybe you've been there before. Maybe there's some pain in your life, and you could say, you know, I understand. When I need comfort, I go here, or I go to this direction. It's a basic premise of life that everyone experiences pain. So we've all been there before. From the youngest among us to the most senior, we've all experienced pain of one kind or another. It could be, you know, the loss of a loved one, like I just described. It could be a debilitating illness. It could be relationship problems. I don't know what sort of pain maybe comes to mind most readily for you as we talk about this. But everyone experiences pain at one point or another. That's just part of the human experience. And it reminds us of something Jesus said some 2,000 years ago when he acknowledged that in this world, John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world, he says, you will have trouble. I love that Jesus is just honest about that. He's a straight shooter. He says right there to those who would follow him, this world is a hard place. There will be pain, there will be strife, there will be difficulty associated with it. But a lot of times in our pain, the problem comes not from the pain itself, but it's that we look for comfort in all the wrong places. You just think about it. You know, so many times we'll go looking for comfort in places that don't provide ultimately the kind of comfort that we need. A lot of times, you know, today we'll look for comfort in something like food. We even talk about, you know, comfort food. Or we'll look for comfort in maybe a bottle, turn to some sort of illicit substance, alcohol or drugs or whatever. Maybe something is just seemingly kind of harmless, like a Netflix binge or, you know, something like that. But we'll try and we'll try to work out our pain by filling ourselves with some substance or some activity. And maybe in our minds, it seems that that provides a little bit of temporary relief. But deep down, I think we all understand that those are poor substitutes, you know? Poor substitutes for what we're really looking for. Because whatever comfort you could find there in any of those things, whatever comfort can be found there is really only temporary. Eventually, that kind of relief from the pain runs its course. Even looking for comfort in an earthly relationship from someone as reliable as your parents or a spouse or a good friend, you know, looking there, that we might say, well, that's better, right, than some of these other things you've described, sure. But eventually, those earthly relationships will also inevitably fall short of the comfort that we seek. It's a universal truth that everyone hurts. Because of this, no matter how religious or irreligious a person might be, everyone is searching for a comforter. And God's word speaks directly to this yearning in our hearts. And that's at the heart of the passage that we just read together a moment ago. I want us to look at it again one more time from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Paul makes two really important points about God the Father here. He says, one, that he is the Father of compassion, and then two, he is the God of all comfort. So Father of compassion, that means whenever we suffer, we can rest in the knowledge that God cares. To think that someone doesn't care about our pain is one of the worst experiences in life. Maybe you come here today and you're experiencing some kind of pain, some sort of loss, again, whatever it might be, but you wonder, does anybody care? Maybe you've been let down by the people in your life who you entrusted with that knowledge. Maybe someone actively used that against you. Again, we all experience pain of one kind or another. But the scriptures speak to this deep yearning in our hearts to know that when we hurt, when we suffer, we don't have to suffer alone. And the scriptures say, no, we don't. Because our God, our Creator, He is the Father of compassion. That means He cares about the struggles of His children. I think the Lord used that language intentionally, Father of compassion, like a good parent. When the child comes running in, toe mangled and bleeding, a good parent scoops that child up into her arms, into his arms, and provides comfort. And the scriptures say that's a picture of our God. We can imperfectly and incompletely model that, but it does point us in the right direction to the comfort of our God, because nurture is in His nature as well. So there is no compassion like God's compassion, because He is the Father of all compassion. And then He is the God of all comfort. Unlike some of those temporary forms of comfort we were talking about a moment ago, God's comfort is holistic. It's complete, because His comfort is eternal in nature. He knows how to console us. He knows just what we need. And those two things are linked. Because He is the Father of compassion, He is also the God of all comfort. So there is no comfort like God's comfort as well. And after Paul says all of these things about God the Father, you'll notice what he does there in that passage. The focus shifts to Jesus. As Paul is facing his own challenging circumstances here, he is reminded of the sufferings of Christ. It's been noted that 2 Corinthians is Paul at one of his lowest points. He says earlier in the letter that for a moment there, because of the suffering that he's enduring and that he's facing, he's saying, we despaired even of life itself. But Paul knows a secret. Paul knows that Jesus promises to join his people whenever they are hurting. You see, Paul knows that the scriptures speak of Jesus as the man of sorrows from Isaiah chapter 53. And he also knows this verse from Psalm 34, that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And so you put those two things together, we get this picture of the man of sorrows who will always come and weep with his people whenever they are brokenhearted. That's Jesus. That's the picture Paul has of Christ. And so that's why, after talking about God being the God of all comfort, he points us toward Jesus. So when we confess Jesus is Lord, we receive so much. When we go into those waters of baptism, we receive the forgiveness of our sin. We receive a mission. We receive the hope of eternity. All of these things. Simon Peter says we begin to partake of the divine nature. So there are a lot of things that come our way whenever we sign up and say, okay, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I want my sins to be washed away. But you're also kind of putting yourself at odds with the way of the world when you do that. And that means that you'll stand out. It means at times you'll be mocked for being different. That means that some people will claim that you're going to be on the wrong side of history and all of this kind of thing. There is inevitably some level of discomfort that comes from following Jesus, at least in this life. And if we're following Jesus, there are times where Paul says here, we will share abundantly in his sufferings, which reminds us of what Jesus said in John chapter 15. If the world hates you, remember that it first hated me as well. But when that happens, it's so important to remember this truth from God's word. If we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. You see that? That word abounding, it's also translated in different passages as overflowing. It has this sense of over and above. So we might say that God's comfort goes above and beyond the suffering that we might experience as we follow Jesus. I think that's one of the most hopeful ideas that you find in the entirety of God's word. I love the way one commentator describes this kind of comfort. He says, the comfort that Paul has in mind is not some tranquilizing dose of grace that only dulls the pain, But instead, it is a strengthening agent that fortifies one's heart, mind, and soul. God's comfort strengthens weak knees and sustains sagging spirits, so that one faces the troubles of life with unbending resolve and unending assurance. Hear that line again. God comforts, his comfort strengthens weak knees. You've been weak in the knees lately because of life. God's comfort strengthens and sustains sagging spirits. That's the hope that we have through Christ. And that leads us here to the question, okay, so how does God comfort us? How exactly does he strengthen us? And he does so with hope. God comforts us with hope. Hope is a pretty resilient thing. Hope will lead you through the darkest times of your life. The hope of the promises of God can lead you through, as it says in Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. You can go through that. Inevitably, we all have to face that at one time or another. Certainly, our own mortality, our own death, but even the death of those that we know and love so dearly. And yet, we can go through that without fear, just as David describes, if we understand the hope that we have in that relationship with God. I will fear no evil, he says, for thou art with me. And we can be even more specific than that. He comforts us with the hope of eternity. Romans 8, verse 18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. When we read the Bible, we see that God doesn't pull any punches. He shoots straight and he acknowledges what we've already said, that suffering is a feature of the present. And in this same chapter, Paul goes on to say that creation is groaning because of the suffering of the present. And so we know this to be true because I suspect we've all done some groaning ourselves. Everybody hurts because suffering is a feature of the present. But the biblical hope is this, that suffering doesn't have to have the final word. God draws our attention out there toward the horizon to see the dawning of this new day, the dawning of eternity that began with the resurrection of Jesus and ends with the glorious future that he says he is preparing for us. There is a day coming when God will wipe every tear from our eyes. We should be eager for that day. Does it say something to you that God puts that promise on the very last page of the Bible as if to say, you know, before you close this book, before you read this and walk away, I want to remind you of one last picture of hope. I will wipe every tear from the eyes of my hurting people in eternity. In fact, the picture of eternity could be that of a loving father consoling and comforting his children. That's the kind of comfort our souls are truly seeking. Jesus said he'd go to prepare a place for us. And in the meantime, we might have to suffer a little. But if you're a child of God, I hope you can remember this, that no matter how bad it gets, it all ends in glory. No matter how dark the night might feel, no matter how strong that pain might be that we're experiencing in the present, no matter, it all ends in glory for the people of God. So the question is then, I guess, what should we do about that? I mean, this is biblical truth that God has revealed to us, but what do we do with that? So my question would be, have you experienced God's eternal comfort? If not, I hope you know that he stands ready to comfort you. And he's ready to offer this promise that there is no comfort like God's comfort because he is the only one who can offer us eternal comfort. As we said, a lot of those forms of comfort that we seek, those are just temporary. Those things are at best placeholders for the real comfort that we're seeking. They're not satisfying. They were never intended to be satisfying. If you've ever tried to binge a Netflix show, you know, like whenever you finish one episode, there's always another one queued up right behind it, you know? If you've like given yourself into some other form of temptation to try to find relief from the pain, you realize like quickly how addictive those things can become. And Satan will tempt us into thinking that we're exercising true freedom when we choose those things, when really we're not. We're choosing that which enslaves us more deeply with every move. And that is not what God intends for us. It's because we're more than a body at a deep level. We are souls, and only God can provide comfort for the soul. As Augustine once said, our hearts are restless until they find rest in you, O God. So today, my question for you would be, are you restless? I think a lot of us are restless. And there are probably a variety of different reasons for that. Maybe part of our restlessness, though, is because we're seeking comfort in the temporary rather than seeking the eternal comfort of God. My prayer would be that today you turn to the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, the only one who can provide comfort for your soul. A few weeks ago, our church experienced a pretty painful loss. I received a call, it was 3 weeks ago today, a call on Sunday afternoon that a gentleman by the name of Pat Clark had passed away in an automobile accident. Pat was barely 40 years old, with a wife and three young children. He was a captain in the United States Army. He served a tour over in Afghanistan. And when he started coming to church with Rachel, Pat was not a Christian. But he told Rachel that he would be open to studying the Bible with me, so he invited me to come over. But I have to tell you that Pat, when I first met him, this soldier, he had some pretty rough edges, okay? The first time I went over to his house to study the Bible, he opened the door and he offered me a beer, which I have to tell you, that doesn't happen very often in my line of work, especially when I go to study the Bible with somebody. And I also heard probably, you know, more four-letter words that day than I had heard in a long, long time. Like I said, my friend had some rough edges at first when I met him, but we started talking about Jesus. And the more we talked about Jesus, some things began to happen in his heart. And we started talking about the love of God. And Pat said, okay, I have a hard time squaring this idea that God would love me enough to sacrifice his own son for me. I'm not worth that. I don't understand that. And so we had some long and, you know, honest conversations about that. But I'll tell you, something began to click for this soldier when he read the words from Jesus himself. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. To his soldier's heart, that made sense. Like, he understood that. So Jesus loves me the same way I love those guys I'm in the platoon with, the guys I'm sweating with, the guys that I'm living and dying with. Jesus is one. Like, there's something that clicked for Pat when he read that word from Jesus himself. So he came to believe that the death of Jesus was for him, just as he came to believe that the resurrection of Jesus was for him. And just like all of those believers who have gone on ahead of him, Pat came to believe that the empty tomb of Jesus was more than a historical fact. He came to believe that it was a promise as well. And this soldier was willing to stake his life on this claim that somewhere on the other side of the world, there's this empty tomb, that they put his body in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose victorious because death couldn't hold the Savior. He rose victorious over sin and death and the devil himself. And Pat experienced the comfort that comes there, the comfort of God's eternal promise, and the hope of that promise produced so much confidence in him. And the comfort he received from God made him confident in his eternal destination. Pat was at church on the day that he died. That morning, he and Rachel came to worship and then went to Sunday school class. And their Sunday school class has been going through a study of heaven. And after class that day, they're in the car driving home. And Pat says to Rachel, We've been talking a lot about heaven, and it's been helpful, but you know, I'm also still kind of confused. He said, I don't really know what heaven is going to be like, but one thing this study has done, he says, I know I want to go there someday. And just a few hours later, Pat's life on earth came to an end. But I tell you all of that, so you'll hear this part. Can't even begin to tell you how God has been using those comments to comfort Pat's family that's left here. Like the things that were going on in this man's heart and life, he had a fire and a hunger and a yearning to grow in his faith. And he knew that ultimate destination where the Lord was leading him. He was not perfect. He still had a lot of rough edges. And yet, the direction of his heart was so pointed toward Jesus. He said, look, I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but if he's there, that's where I want to be. And his family that deeply misses this husband, this father, they're taking comfort. The only comfort that I think you can find in a circumstance like this. They're taking comfort in the knowledge that to the very end, Pat had his mind set on the eternal promise of God. If you haven't experienced the comfort of God's eternal promise, I want you to know today, I hope you hear from these words, that the Father of compassion is ready for you. He's ready to embrace your broken heart. He's ready to hold you tightly for all eternity. He wants to infuse your soul with the hope of eternity, to release you from the heavy burden of guilt and shame and sin. And if you're ready to receive his promises today in baptism, I hope in a moment when we sing that you'll be willing to walk down this aisle and to share that with the good people that you'll see down front here. Maybe there's some other things on your heart, some things that you'd want this good praying church to be lifting up for you in prayer. You can share that as well. The God of all comfort can strengthen you with the hope of glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, the sovereign Lord who makes all things new, he who has ears, let him hear. Let's stand now and let's sing together.